Hello, party people. My name is Alex Linder, and I'm going to give you some thoughts. I'm going to deliver them. They're going to concern a number of things. I've just had a little to talk about besides the audiobooks, and I feel like, I don't know about ranting or venting or maybe doing bits and scenes from movies, but in any case, talking to some of you people. I want to say, first of all, I've gotten some nice letters from people, which I appreciate. I don't always respond, and people have said they like me talking about Pomona and such. I got another thing from Pomona the other day. I thought I would talk a little about that here in a minute. Because it was so damn dumb. Like pretty much everything they send me. They don't send me much because I was gently removed from their alumni magazine, as you've heard me mock before. But they do send me their daring minds. Daring minds. Because wasps don't just have beautiful minds. They have daring minds. I like to think that what we do at Pomona is not just intellectual work in a much higher plane than most people could ever dream of realizing, but also that we combine an ethical rigor and sensitivity that, well, no one but the Jews could really match the level that we operate at. We're a caring people, as well as a tribe. We challenge ourselves, and we dare. Who dares wins, I think. They were perhaps a little bit aggressive, but they used to talk like that, and we try to carry on that proud tradition. Our teeth are white, but our skins aren't. The face of Pomona is changing. Because, you know, the radical barrier is anyone can admit qualified people, but admitting unqualified people, that truly is the future. The American Academy. We at Pomona are on the cutting edge of that. Well, what can I tell you? But we're going to start. Okay, so this morning I get a, did my standard gambit. I said,
"Hello, Mr. Linder. My name is Olivia Becker. I'm a reporter with Vice News, and I'm writing about increasing white nationalist support for Donald Trump in the last week. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the topic. Would you have some time today for me to give you a call? Huh? Would you? Let me know what would work. Best, Olivia Becker, Reporter News, Vice Media Group, 49 South 2nd Street, Brooklyn, New York, 11211.
And I responded, "For 10,000, I'll talk to you. Otherwise, no. I will not talk to you. I do not want to talk to you." And this is the second request I've had. I'm sure they're going out to other white nationalists of any profile or degree of known significance. Why is this? Why? How would we look at this from a white point of view? What do they want to do? Well, they want to destroy Trump. Is Trump anti-Jewish? Hell no. His daughter's married to a Jew. He's more or less pro-Jew than anything. Is Trump pro-white? I mean, he's at least in one instance I've seen against someone using the term white trash so freely. But pro-white, no. Is Trump even particularly political? Not really that I can tell. I can't tell he has any principles beyond ego gratification, and he supposedly or styles himself as a great dealer, wheeler and dealer, and negotiator. I mean, he's certainly gone bankrupt a number of times, or at least more than once, so who knows what the actual truth is. I have no connection to Trump other than I did know Dave Shiflett, who was very polite to me. He was a Southerner who I believe wrote a biography about Twain, or helped him write. He was the professional writer who wrote Trump's autobiography with him years ago. As I recall, if I'm recalling correctly, it's possible I'm not, but I probably am. And I have no connection to Trump or even particular interest in him. But what Trump has done is espouse a number of common sense views, like maybe you don't let a population into the country from which large numbers of terrorists are drawn. Oh, Islam is a religion of peace. Well, you know what? It really isn't. When one of your tenets, that's like saying Christianity is a religion of doctors, because Mary Baker Eddy said it's okay to go to the doctor to set a bone, but in fact they basically eschew them. Islam is a very aggressive religion. And jihad is one of its tenets. And then they'll, "Oh, well, jihad means fighting the internal battle to overcome the vices in your soul." Yeah, that's great. That's I'm sure, part of it. but also killing people who aren't Islamic to take over their lands and take their treasure is also very definitely a part of jihad. And you say, well, most people aren't like anything. But the point is that Muslims form a sea in which these terrorists swim. And I believe the correct parallels I made yesterday on Twitter, which you should follow me if you want to hear my day-to-day thoughts on stuff, is that the Muslim community's attitude towards its own terrorists is directly parallel to the black community's attitude towards its own criminals. They ain't going to turn them in. Snitches get stitches. It's their basic attitude. Now, as it continues to unravel and unfold and develop and transpire about these Muslim murderers out in San Bernardino, not too far from my own Pomona out there, actually, you see that, oh, yeah, well, it wasn't just them. It was other people and their neighbor helped buy him some guns. And you see, this is the problem. This is why Trump's call is eminently rational, because this sea, to use Mao's figure, is an ocean in which the terrorist fish can swim freely because they are not afraid of being turned in. And a third parallel along those lines would be what? It would be the psionym of the Mossad. The Mossad is actually not a large in terms of numbers of actual members because the Jews are so tightly bound into a corporation, as Henry Ford called them in the chapter we read today, that they can be relied upon, if not to help the Mossad in any particular operation in any of the far-flung countries all over the world, at least not ever to turn them in. Loyalty to Jews trumps all else, just as loyalty to Muslims trumps all else, just as loyalty to niggers trumps all else. You see, this is how it works. So Trump's, because he's doing politics right in the sense he's advancing just rational common sense, or not even pro-white positions as seen when they actually interview people about what do you think about not admitting Muslim terrorists. He has stronger support for that in one graphic I saw from blacks and Mexicans than even from whites. It's the whites who are afraid to take even common sense position for fear of being called racist. So Trump is not only right in some of his positions, most principally banning Muslims and building a wall. These are simply common sense to anyone. But he's also correct in his political technique in that he doesn't apologize. He just says, I don't care. They're comparing you. So what? Go fuck yourself. Who cares? You compare everyone to Hitler. He's not backing down. He's repeating it. I hate when they always say, he's doubling down. No, he's sticking by. He's thought, and I don't know. Again, I don't follow the guy totally closely. I don't know how much he really believes in anything. He's has various positions of left or right. He's certainly not pro-white. I'm not claiming that. We whites should look at him as something to use in the same way that he is trying to use us. This Olivia Becker and Vice and the other ones are trying to use our quotations to destroy him. Everybody is pushing an agenda. The Jews' agenda is to racially destroy white people, destroy their families, destroy their communities, destroy their nations. And one of their foremost tools for doing this, beneath the protective cover of the media they control, which is the entire mass media, is to racially flood these countries with third worlders. And when they find cuckservatives, as we now call them, or Shabbos Goy, the traditional view, career girls, as I call them, like Angela Merkel, who helped them in their plans by bringing, in her instance, millions of Syrians and other assorted Pakis and Somali trash into Germany where they're raping people, they reward her by making her the person of the year. The Goy servants, there are many rich emollients and lofty paychecks to go to goys who serve Jews. And what I've said, when there is an actual white movement, whites will be more afraid of selling out their own kind. They're like two lines on a graph that have to cross. The fear of getting killed for being a traitor versus the love of the rewards you can get by serving Jews. When those lines cross, then you start to have a movement, not to be too tautological about it. Anyway, that's a portion of what's on my mind, but you know what? I am frying some fish and I've got some oil burning up and I need to eat that fish and then I'll be right back and we'll talk about Pomona a little bit. So to walk amongst yourselves for a few minutes here. Of course, to you, it will just seem like 2 seconds because I'm hitting the pause button. Fantastic! Oh.
more like we crapped out. 10 to 1, that's mob money, kid, and they don't just look for you, they kill you. Rather have 10 FBIs after me than one mob.
Well, if you don't want any of the money, I'll be happy to take it myself.
I'm sure you would, kid.
Anyway, alright, so, what a great white food. You really should eat fish. If you have any kind of digestive problems, I think fish is one of the easiest things to digest. Here's how you make fish. You pour a deep-fried fish a bowl, make it 2/3 or 60% full of oil, and all you need to batter fish, flour, some seasoning, and in fact, then you put in water to make a sort of paste at the right consistency, thicker or thinner. You can use eggs or beer, but they don't really do much. Water alone is enough, and then you cut your fish fillets up with scissors into little fingers or bite-sized pieces, and then you get the oil hot, that's important, and then you fry the fish and you eat it. It's fantastic, I gotta say. Now, all right, we were talking about Trump. Oh, God, the fruitiness of this. Anyway, yeah, I had a nice letter from someone who I think said they were an academic somewhere, and I forget where it was, but that they were they enjoyed hearing talk about Pomona, and because it related to their own position, kind of being Takiya there in academia, which is completely leftist dominated. All right, let's go and dig into the essential fruitiness of this document. Campaign Pomona, daring minds. Like all left, it's like leftism, which is always like cultic and I am tolerant. I am beautifully minded. I have nothing but high and noble ideals. And, all right, so on the front we got daring minds. Daring minds, we dare. Who dares wins is what the British SAS used to say, although probably not as fruitily as I'm saying it. Making one life, one community in the world a better place. Everyone from Pomona is making the world a better place. Except for certain hateful graduates. Like me, who can never be a part of their wonderful cult, and has been gently removed. Oh, for Christ's sakes. Then on the back, we've got this Asian broad from the class of 2000. This is the prime thing I'm going to make fun of here. With her solution for cold babies. Cold third world babies that lack in heat. Cold third world babies need something to eat, but they don't need to eat if they're already dead, because their parents are too fucking dumb to wrap them up in their bed. Anyway, let's start. Let's dig into this. It's always a trove. It's a trove of deliciousness from the beautiful, high-minded people. I don't trouble myself, said Barbara Bush. I don't want to disturb my beautiful mind with thoughts about all the mangled bodies in Afghanistan caused by my son's lying and employing lying Jews to set policy for them. Ed Tessier, 91. He's a white guy. I know nothing against Ed. I'm not going to talk him down. Ed Tessier, 91. Making the world more livable, more accessible, and more beautiful, one neighborhood at a time. He's in a wheelchair. And, yeah. Anyway. Take part in Pomona's celebration of daring minds. Daring minds dare to doubt equality. I looked it up to see if they had a hashtag. I was going to go after them, but they appear not to, so. Okay, let's see. So, visit pomona.edu/HDM to honor the professor, coach, mentor, or friend who most inspires you. And then you give a donation in your honoree's name, and it will be matched dollar for dollar by the Daring Minds Fund. And then they show recent online honorees include, and some of these people I'm familiar with. Okay, Martha Andreessen. She is a female Shakespeare professor who's supposedly really, really great stuff. I never took a class from her. She's not really too political. She's okay, I suppose. Lisa Beckett, not familiar. Eleanor Brown, not familiar. Betsy Crichton. I had her as a, she was teaching like our thesis class when I was a international relations major. You have to write a thesis to graduate. Not a bad woman, but, you know, just average sort of leftist. Possibly a lesbian, I'm not sure about that. Rick Haslett, don't know. Sid Lamel, yeah, okay. Black Marxist, took an African history course from him. Hilarious. I've talked about him before. Pat Mulcahy, William Russell, Dwight Whitaker. Heard the names, not really familiar with them. Doesn't matter. Anyway, let's move on. Now, their new head of the college is David Oxtoby. Oxtoby. David. They've gone from David Charles Alexander to David Oxtoby. He has a big old mid-century scientific type grin on his face. And then, and literally, and what have I said before when we've looked at these things? Every single person in this freaking thing is grinning like an idiot. It's because they're so happy. The reason they're happy is they maintain intellectual rigor along with social commitment and high ethics. So the note page from David Oxtoby, president of Pomona College, says, cultivating and nurturing future generations of daring minds. You know, there's a special combination of qualities that has always struck me as the hallmark of a Pomona College education, a blend of intellectual tenacity and ethical commitment that I believe makes Pomona graduates far more influential in the world than their numbers would suggest. So he's like... bragging. Not even humble bragging, really. 5 years ago when we began this transformative campaign, again, that big leftist word, transformation, do you see that most commonly in South Africa? It means moving something from sane and white to deranged and Jew mud-colored. We began this transformative campaign. We tried to find words for that special mix of qualities. What we came up with was the phrase, daring minds. I would call it hothouse minds or cultic minds or the cult of beautiful me. The cult of beautiful me and my rich culture, full of money and noble ideals. These words mean different things to different people, but I think most of us have found in them something both familiar and uplifting. A reminder that Pomona people are important because they strive to do important things. Those things may influence the future of one person, one community, one grasshopper, the nation, or the world. But they all involve making the place where we live a little more beautiful, a little healthier, a little safer, a little more united, a little better, to sum it up in one word. For the past 5 years, Campaign Pomona Daring Minds has focused on making this campus an even better proving ground for cultivating and nurturing an exceptionally fine strain of Virginia tobacco. I mean, for cultivating and nurturing those qualities in future generations of students. It has built new faculties and supported new programs. It has reinforced the college's ability to welcome the most promising young people from around the world. Yeah, and if you go to them and look at them on Twitter, half of them are colored and illiterates, the ones who aren't Asian or white, regardless of their ability to pay or think. Now, as the campaign nears its successful conclusion, we're dedicating its last few weeks to recognizing and honoring Pomona's many daring minds, both the well-known and the unsung. These are people who honor the famous words on the college gate by using the added gifts of their Pomona education to make a difference. They only, this is a direct quote, I used to walk by this, I remembered it. They only are loyal to this institution who, in departing, bear their added riches in trust for mankind. The alumni, faculty, and students featured in this issue are just a few examples. You're a good fellow. Good things happen to you. We invite you to join us in this effort and honor someone who you admire by adding their name to the list of daring minds. Though Campaign Pomona Daring Minds is nearing the... And I'm not going to be reading huge amounts. This is almost done here. And then we'll just go through and mock it. Where mocking is applicable, is nearing the finish line. Its impact will continue to resonate through the years ahead, touching generation after generation of Pomona students, and through them, helping to make our world a better place. Stroke, 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 jerk, jerk, jerk. I hope you will join this effort to identify other inspirational alumni, faculty, staff, and students who deserve our recognition. And if you see fit, I hope you will also join those blah, 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 money, 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 rich, 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 money, 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 rich, 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 money, 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 a mark, a yen, a buck, or a pound, and... Money makes the world go round, it makes the world go round. And guess what we see in the next page, leaving Oxtoby behind? We see civil rights icon and tireless crusader for social justice, Highlights of a story life, a timeline of this Mexican's life. 1959, Cruz Reynoso is the guy's name. 59, starts private law practice. 68, deputy director of California Rural Legal Assistance. Remember, Pomona is in Claremont, California, in Southern California, east of Los Angeles. 82, appointed to California State Supreme Court. 93, named vice chair of U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. That'd be under Reagan. 2000, awarded Presidential Medal of Freedom by Bill Clinton. 2001, joins UC Davis School of Law. 2009, serves on Barack Obama's transition team. Civil rights icon and tireless crusader for justice. I don't know why they didn't put social justice. Cruz Reynoso, 53. Professor of Law Emeritus, inaugural holder of the Buchever and Byrd Chair for the Study and Teaching of Freedom and Equality, UC Davis School of Law. The son of Mexican immigrants, Cruz Reynoso worked in the orange groves alongside siblings. Even though most young farm workers had little chance of going to college, Reynoso was determined to get an education, attending Pomona College on his scholarship. It's funny how they never brag about Revelo Oliver, who went to Pomona and is the best writer ever to come out of Pomona. I find that funny. He's someone they could be immensely proud of. Normally they just promote like Kris Kristofferson as one of the bigger names. And supposedly Frank Zappa went there for a semester or two. Anyway, so this guy is a Mexican lawyer who was on, you know, blah blah blah. Anyway, so that's what we have. We have the note from the president. We have the Crip on the cover. We have the note from the president. We have, oh God, okay. Now here's one of their, honor a daring mind. This is their idea of daring minds. I mean, they're all basically devoted to helping the third world. Stupid shit. Let's go through them first, and then we'll look at some of the particularly stupid ones. All right, Ed Tessie. I'll give him. He started The Haven, a coffee shop in Pomona, struggling. Now, Pomona, the college, is in Claremont. Claremont is a city that is next to another city called Pomona. So you see, Pomona College is not located in Pomona City, the city of Pomona, which is not called Pomona City. It's located in Claremont. Pomona is much more of a black and Mexican place, bars over the window. Anyway, Ed Tessier, or whatever his name is, has started up some little haven there. But these are the people they consider daring minds. Gabriel Friedman, all right, clearly a Jew, launched a music mentoring program for children who couldn't afford lessons or instruments. All right, whatever. Tammy Zhu, Asian, started Food Rescue, a student-run program that worked with dining hall employees to package fresh but unserved meals and deliver the family to give it away to the pigeons, to the Mexican pigeons in the Inland Valley. All right. That sounds like a highly useful use of time. Emily Arnold Fernandez, who's possibly white or possibly Jew. Arnold-Fernandez might be married to a brown. Who knows? Founder of Social Entrepreneurship Workshop. A lawyer who has advocated for the human rights of women, children, and other vulnerable individuals. Okay, usual leftist junk. I mean, what does that mean? It means nothing. Rose Portillo, 75, probably some other Mexican. Founder of Theater for Young Audiences. Gives middle and high school students who don't have access to a theater program a year-long opportunity to develop a play and mount a production on campus. Again, who cares? That's like the Jew. Music lessons for young thugs on the rise. Feeding the homeless. Sarah Curia-Cose, who appears to some kind of brown, probably, I don't know, maybe Indian or something, or Indonesian or something. Since Alternabreak, clinical director, Autism Spectrum Disorder Service, founder Alternabreak. So instead of going on spring break, you plant trees in city parks, tutor children at family shelters. All right, who cares? That's a waste of time. It's better to go on spring break and enjoy the beach. At least it's not Habitat for Humanity, though. Shelter for Subhumanity. Caring. Adam Murray, Executive Director, Inner Law City Law Center. Okay, so far, have we seen any white males? No, we've seen one Jew. We've seen two, at most, half-white types. We've seen two Asians, Now we move on. Adam Murray 93, the one there's no picture of. I don't know. Oh, he's dealing with homelessness, so another thing that is useless. Maggie Fick, that could be Jewish or German name, West Africa, reporter for the Financial Times, all right, part of the controlled media, whatever, another faceless reporter. David Chinfei Wang, obviously Asian, teaching people to make their own bicycles from bamboo. Well, that is just the definition of something stupid and useless. If you have to go to their country and teach them how to use their own materials of their own vegetation to make bicycles, that does not seem like a good use of time. Casey Troopin might be white. He might be a fruit. Attorney Children and Youth Project, Columbia Legal Service. So you know it's up to no good. Legal counselor for foster youth and homeless. So helping the homeless, helping the defective, helping the third worlders. And basically a bunch of Asians, non-whites. Joyce Nimix, a black questioning traditional ideas about beauty. Joyce Nimix found inspiration sitting at the kitchen table with her grandmother, who taught her to make homemade natural cosmetics and beauty products. I guess she smeared some chitlins on her face, and that's her homemade beauty products. Questioning traditional ideas about beauty. Then we have a Russian, appears to be white, Ami Radonskaya. Could be a Jew, could be white. Empowering women in mathematics. Again, when is there time left in this world to focus on the quality of something when all they care about is getting the right category of person into some particular field? I mean, white men are worried about quality. They're worried about the thing they're doing, and everyone else is worried about politicized categories. Now, George Wolfe, all right, I don't think he's white. He appears to be partly black, or he's at least a halfie. His award-winning productions have included stories about the AIDS crisis in Angels in America. So I guess he's a fairly big name. I've never heard of him before, but George C. Wolfe, 76, Tony Award-winning director and playwright. So great, he's putting on stories about AIDS. So AIDS, homelessness, various third world defectives. Rory Taylor, 18, champion for change. He might be white. He might be part Asian. I don't know. He helped found the indigenous. Ah, he's an Indian. I knew it. I knew he didn't look white. In his first year, he helped found the Indigenation Scholars Program, which pairs about 20 Claremont College mentors with 70 to 80 high school students at three local Native American high schools. So they're going to go from eating ants and acorns to being great scholars through the medium of Pomona mentor magic. Turning the page, we got Jessica Ladd with that faraway I'm a leftist sort of look. Founder and CEO, what is she doing to make the world a better place? What is she doing with her daring mind and prehensile womb? Why, she's founder and CEO of Sexual Health Innovations. What, has a new orifice been invented by one of these daring minds at Pomona? Is the ear sex I've always theorized coming to fruition? No! She's an innovator in the field of sexual health. Jessica Ladd developed Callisto, a college sexual assault reporting system aimed at giving survivors a more empowering and transparent reporting experience. So, you know, throw off the in loco parentis, throw open the borders. When my mom went to Pomona, you were not allowed to have men in your dorm at all. It was very controlled. And in the name of liberation, they threw all that open. And then the minute it was open, they started having problems with women not being respected and getting raped and date raped and whatever other bogus terminology they can come up with. And then they turn around and don't slut shame them. They want women to have it every possible way with no response, all the rights, no responsibilities. Have it both ways. Women, that's what women actually want, is to have everything at both ways. If they are left to their own devices, they will try to build a legal system in which they have everything both ways, and they have no responsibility, and they have absolute discretion and power. And you see, this is a typical leftist trying to turn everything, as the right or the religious types would say, into a technical matter. Sex is not really a technical matter. If it were, then they could reasonably say safe sex, but sex involves the commingling of spirits most of the time. It could be just purely eating some cold pizza or drinking a glass of water, but it's generally going to involve sort of some sort of emotional, psychological, spiritual interaction. And so to say that it's safe, you can say, well, we put down a thin plastic barrier that doesn't even work that well against pregnancy or disease. But to equate that with safety is what we call, whether we're religious or not, as I'm certainly not, a ridiculously reductive view of human beings. To think that mere prophylactics makes sex safe. Sex is inherently not safe. It's something dangerous and thrilling. It has an upside, it has a downside. But yeah, she's using her daring mind and the time, the hours of her life to develop a better reporting system for women who imagine they've been raped. Then we have Gabriel London, who I would guess is a Jew. Founder and partner at Found Object Films, creating change through film. Well, that certainly sounds leftist. Film is a way to bring often overlooked issues such as veterans' health, clean energy, and climate change. So he's an ordinary leftist social justice do-gooder promoting one world government and high taxes and socialism, anti-white socialism. So he's directed and produced multiple award-winning documentaries, including The Mind of Mark DeFriest, which helped raise awareness about the treatment of mentally ill. You know, I'm glad there's people to do this shit and win awards for it. It's so, so boring and pointless by my way of thinking. Then we have Daniel Martinez, professor of biology. His thinking, you know, he could be Mexican, he could be white, Spanish. Since the 90s, Daniel Martinez has studied the surprising longevity and theoretical, quote, immortality of the freshwater hydra. So he's been studying it for 20 years. He hasn't really come up with anything. He's received grants from the Immortality Project at UC Riverside to look at the implications of the hydra's unlimited lifespan on medicine and increasing human longevity from the NIH. So he's getting a bunch of grants. Now what he's doing with them, who only knows? Maybe something good will come from it. Maybe he's just having fun on the public dime. The guess is yours. Now, we've got like two more, and then we'll culminate with the most ludicrous one of all. Monique Seigal. Now, I do remember she led a group I was initially invested in. Oh, she's claiming to be, she's some French Jew. Remembering heroines of the French Resistance. We literally, in our group meeting, had to act out charades. I remember that as one of the most horrible things I've ever had to be forced participated in, right at the start of when we went to college. Can't stand stuff like that. Like being forced to square dance, or it's forced indignity. Monique Seigal, who survived the Holocaust as a hidden child, wrote French Heroines, 1941 to 45, Courage, Strength, and Ingenuity. She's another daring mind to Pomona, your run-of-the-mill Holocaust survivor, as they say. And then here we have, this is a classic sort of Pomona achievement. It's like achievement in the sense, a Lilliputian climbing up onto your knee is an achievement for a Lilliputian. Madison Vorva, probably white, kind of a goofy, trendy name, Madison Vorva, unusual, perhaps Russian or something. Concerned about deforestation and its impact on orangutan habitat. And who isn't? Who among us isn't? Global warming and human rights. Madison Vorva led a successful campaign to persuade Girl Scout cookie bakers to use responsibly sourced palm oil. That is fucking incredible. Does someone care that much? Anyway, I cannot but laugh at that kind of clownage. But the best one of all, in the sense, not that it's the funniest, but that it's the most typical. And I'm leaving one surprise for the lineup. Where's this broad? All right. 10% of all babies are born prematurely. The WHO, World Health Organization, estimates that 75% of premature babies could be saved with cost-effective care. About 150,000 hypothermic babies, have been helped by the Embrace Baby Warmer. So this Asian broad named Jane Chen from the class of 2000 is the CEO of Embrace Innovations. And her little, basically, blanket deal replaces a $20,000 incubator to save these cold babies of these defective morons who are incapable of basically figuring out how to keep premature babies warm. And that, my friends, is the acme, the peak, the high point, the summit, the crystallization of the beautiful mind, the daring mind at work. Dare to save hypothermic, premature, third world babies. Doesn't seem like a good way to use my time. I'd personally rather spend it picking my nose and sniggering on the couch, but you know, I was going to throw in, I didn't go to Pomona, but I did. So I was exposed to this. It didn't take in me. I had other ideas about what a beautiful mind should be doing. But I never considered that I had a beautiful mind, even a daring mind. I had thought I had a mind that could perceive what was going on and at least enough balls to speak it accurately. I mean, I don't think you can really hope for much more than that. In fact, I consider that basically just a minimum. But yet at the same time, it's also become a maximum these days in the sense of Orwell's, you know, the telling the truth's a revolutionary act where people are all devoted to ideology and beautiful mind. But you know what? Out of all these minds, there's one guy who's doing something that actually I think all of us would agree is something useful. Who is, oh my gosh, it's the one white male in the whole thing who doesn't appear to be a Jew or a queer or some kind of grinning leftist numpty. His name is Emil Kakkis. 82. Greek sounding name, he looks Greek. CEO and president of Ultragenyx Pharmaceutical, accelerating the development of treatments for rare disease. All right, that's perfectly freaking valid. For 22 years, Emil Kakkis, Kakkis, has been developing treatments for rare diseases. His first effort was a treatment for a rare childhood disease called MPSI, which took years to be approved by the FDA. Kakkis turned that delay into another challenge and, since 2009, has worked to change a policy he sees as unnecessarily slowing or even blocking potentially life-saving therapies. Founded in 2010 to focus on the developing rare and ultra-rare disease therapeutics as rapidly as possible, Ultragenyx is working on treatments for four rare diseases. So there you go. Daring mind? I don't know if he's daring, but he's doing something that's actually useful, figuring out diseases and how to solve them. So we can respect that. But the rest is basically left-wing garbage. And then they have a page, and this, as we draw to the end here, remembering daring minds. These are daring minds from the past. Oh, guess what they're going to say here? E. Wilson Lyon. This is one of the big WASP names like Sealy, Mudd, Webb, Lyons. All these are the names that are all over the walls and the dormitories of all these essentially Ivy League colleges transplanted out west that you'll find at Stanford. It's all the same people who did Stanford and Berkeley and Cal and Harvey Mudd and Pomona and Scripps and all these. It's the same WASP type, just transplanted from the Northeast to the West. Standing up for Pomona faculty in the McCarthy era. During the anti-communist hysteria, see, this is just boilerplate leftism of the 1950s. Of course, it's later proved that the communist invasion of the U.S. was actually far more intensive and widespread than even McCarthy said. But it becomes anti-communist hysteria. And why would people be hysterical? See, this is like they say, oh, you have no balls. You're afraid of, yeah, you're afraid of Muslims because they're shooting people and blowing them up. The ones who aren't are supporting those who are, buying them guns. Why would people be worried about communists? I mean, there's such an innocent record of murdering tens of millions of whites last century. But no, at Pomona, it's anti-communist hysteria by whichever faggot leftist is writing this garbage. During the anti-communist hysteria of the McCarthy era in the 50s, the University of California Board of Regents voted to fire members of the faculty who refused to take a loyalty oath. At Pomona College, Wilson Lyon not only stood up to demands from some of the members of the Board of Trustees that he enforce the oath, with a few calling for his resignation, he also hired one of the UC professors fired by the regent, so he's actively hiring these stupid communists. It was one of many principled stands Lyon would take during World War II and his tenure as president. Okay, he's principled. His principle is communism. Fuck him. Who's the next great mind? John Payton, 73. I can't tell if he's a nigger or a part nigger, but I think so. College activist and civil rights leader. Renowned civil rights attorney. John Payton was the president and director counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund. As a student at Pomona, he was a founder of the Black Student Union and co-founder of the Black Studies Center. Payton was the lead counsel for the University of Michigan in the 2003 U.S. Supreme Court cases concerning diversity in higher education. I thought Michigan lost that affirmative action stuff. 2010, the National Law Journal named Payton to its list of the decade's most influential lawyers. Who else? Jean Walton. So we have a communist, we have a nigger, now we have a feminist, leading the way for women's studies and international education. Jean Walton co-founded the pioneering Intercollegiate Women's Studies Program in 1978, now Gender and Women's Studies, and served as its first coordinator. She was also instrumental in developing Oldenburg Center, thought to be the first facility to combine a language center, international house, and co-educational residence. Known as Dean Jean, Walton, who joined the college as the Dean of Women in 1949, was named Vice President of Student Affairs in 1976. Never had any dealings with her. Did live in Oldenburg for 1 year. It was basically just a bunch of Asians. Roger Revelle. Could be the first white guy on here besides Wilson, the communist. Groundbreaking scientist, early predictor of global warming. Roger Revelle was one of the first scientists to recognize the effects of rising levels of atmospheric carbon dioxide on the Earth's surface temperature and to link that increase to the use of fossil fuels. A geology major at Pomona, he was also one of the first scientists to study the movement of Earth's tectonic plates. Revelle is considered the father of the late UC San Diego campus and was founder and director of the Center for Population Studies at Harvard University. All right, no comment there other than I don't know if he was fully involved in the whether the Earth is warming or not, whether it's warming due to man's thing. We know that that claim is being used to advance socialist taxation, the carbon tax. Get the world roped into a scheme whereby it's one world politically and the whites are forced to pay for the defective buds. Finally, Frances Rice Norton. A New England intellectual, Frances Rice Norton came to Claremont with her husband Edwin C. Norton, I guess not the actor, who had taken a job as a principal at the newly opened Pomona College in 1888. Frances Norton, who is said to have looked at this in dismay at the sparsely populated landscape, became the chef at Claremont Hall, and not long after had a role in running most of the daily operations of the college. She became the first registrar and, putting into perspective what we are calling multitasking today, took charge of the buildings and grounds, infirmary, garden, and livestock. So she'd be someone from the way, way, way back, the very origins, as these WASPy people founded an Ivy League college in the Southwest. The desert and orange grove-filled Southwest near the coast. Anyway, that's Campaign Pomona, Daring Minds, and wouldn't give them a goddamn penny. Why people go into debt to be taught derived Marxism is beyond me. Well, in the time I've been yammering on about Pomona, the Olivia Becker has responded to me. She says, ha! Unfortunately, I don't think our budget will allow for that. Oh, what a shame. I had so many wonderful, scintillating, incredibly penetrating and insightful points to make. But I guess they'll be lost, wasted on the sweetness of the desert air. Or the humidity of the Midwestern air. But I gotta say, it's an absolutely beautiful day here in the Nemo. It's about 60 degrees, and here we are 10 days into December. Year of our Lord, 2015. Outside, the sun is shining. It's pretty darn groovy. Let's see, what is there? We'll wrap this up before too long. Someone told me that Miller, and I have not talked to him. I talked to him right after the judge upheld the jury's sentencing him to death. That would have been right after, that was on November 10th. That the judge upheld the order, and I probably talked to him the next day or two after that. I have not talked to him since that time. I had been out for a while, and I think that someone told me they had sent him a letter that was returned, and it does have to have a hand printed return address. However, I believe he was going, he said it was likely he would be moved 3 or 4 weeks after that point, so that would be right about now. So he may well be on his way to a different location. When I have the address, I will let everybody know. And nothing else on that front. They had, I know, taken, I know he plans to appeal, and they had taken his computer after the upholding of the conviction and the sentence. They had taken his computer and his other paraphernalia, so he's constantly filing motions to try to get them back, and he wants to do his appeal as well. So if I can help him with that, I will. We'll see. I don't know how it will all work out, but the American judicial process is never ending, is essentially what it comes down to. Now, let's see. What else is there to talk about? A couple interesting things in the media. There's a couple of TV shows you can torrent, or you can pay for if you like giving money to your enemies via Netflix, via cable TV. I recommend you whiten your life, you de-Jew it, and you don't pay for any Jewish media to the extent you possibly can. But the Jews have put out one interesting show. It's actually put out by Amazon Studios, A Man in a High Castle, The Man in the High Castle, which is a Philip Dick sci-fi story about a world in which Japan and Germany won World War II, and they've done 10 episodes. I don't know if it's season one or what, but I've watched a couple of them. It's decent. Another, really, that I thought was really good is Deutschland 83, but it may be because of my age and generation, the fact that I was over there, and made me kind of nostalgic, but it's pretty good as just a pure thriller. Deutschland 83, kind of about the Cold War under Reagan and trying to avert a nuclear war and the stationing of the SS-20s or the Pershing missiles over there that Reagan had put over there to counter the Soviet threat. And if you kind of wonder how Germany was, that gives you really kind of an insight into East Germany, West Germany. I thought it was fairly realistic. Germans just act a certain way. But of course, will Germany even exist when you're bringing in millions of Syrians and stuff into the country that are, they're raping people? And it's utterly ridiculous. And we're seeing that there's been a tenfold increase over the last year in the number of, I call them Merkel Roach motels, that have been burned. And basically, out of all of these, I don't know, a couple hundred Molotov attacks, maybe 4 people have been convicted and only a few caught. And that's because most of the population is sympathetic. So that's a tremendously good sign that they're burning down these hostels. And hopefully, eventually, they'll move on to simply shooting these invaders and the people who let them in directly. That's what I'm hoping. Because I really believe if you saw even one or two of these European white skins assassinated, I believe the rest would run screechingly to the right. We're already seeing these weak-ass fake nationalist parties like Le Pen operates are starting to move into power. And if they fail, it's going to be all or nothing, because you either kill or be killed is nature's law. Nature doesn't have any morality or anything else except existence. As I always like to say, 99% of the species that ever existed are extinct. So that's what's actually going on. Religious stuff is all theorizing or thinking. It has no actual bearing on reality. The reality is God has no problem with genocide, because almost everything that, even if you believe he created it, no longer exists. It died out. So if God's against murder and genocide, you can't prove that by the world he created, but you can prove the opposite. So either you fight and overcome, or you succumb. In the last year, I've taken to talking about Team White as a hashtag on Twitter. And Twitter moves the quickest, of, seems to me, of all the social media. I find it the most useful. I don't really like Facebook. It's too family, personal type stuff, which, you know, kitty cats and that kind of garbage. Not interesting. Twitter is excellent as a lead for news and for the latest memes, as they call it, but it just helps the development cycle of ideas. They cycle much more quickly because you've got all the smart people, the young white right, wherever they overlap, that's where all the wisdom and the creativity are coming from. And that's where we might find success. And you know my strategy. What we need to do is create a team white. We need to abandon the conservatism. They have the mindset of losers, passive remonstrators, nigglers, and Christianity, which confuses the issue by clouding it with a bunch of extraneous, adventitious garbage, and just purely focus on race. We want to be whites living in a white nation around other whites. That's our preference. And contrary to what Little Man thinks, it's stronger for being overtly acknowledged as a preference rather than some pretended absolute that nature or God backs, when they manifestly don't back it, as I just got done saying. So, then again, I watched a movie. There's a lot of movies free online you can watch, like older. I like older stuff just because I like to. I particularly like 70s stuff, but I like watching film noir and just stuff that's, I don't know, not taken up with diversity or people being overly cool. But I watched a movie called, by Ida Lupino, called The Hitchhiker. And a dude just basically hitchhikes these two guys and bully rags them all through Mexico. But in the end, he gets his, as was the way, because they had the production code where the bad guy cannot triumph in the end. But just a short 70-minute film. Not even particularly worth watching, but not bad. Anyway, always looking for movies. I'll alert you to them that are any good that have not been seen. And so, what we need to do from this point, we try to use Trump as best we can to further our own agenda, because that's what he's doing as well. And I don't, as I said, I don't know that he's even particularly conservative or leftist. He's just sort of ego-driven, and he embraces some common-sense ideas, and it's interesting to see how far he can get with them against the official system. But I looked up the prices the other day, and he was still at plus 800 to win. So if you honestly believe Trump is going to win the election, and you're willing to back that with money, you can find some place it's legal to get it down, eight times your money. For every 100 you put up, you win 800. Hillary is that favored. I don't know what she is, maybe minus 140 or something, but basically you have to lay that, you lay 140 to win 100 is what that means. If you're not familiar with gambling notations and terminology, but Hillary is the favorite because the way the system is set up in the U.S. is such that you're essentially competing over a handful of states that are in swing, and the rest are one way or another to a point that basically no one, short of Jesus too, is going to alter. So you're competing for a number of states, and the Democrats only have to win really, truly, like one or two. Like if they win Florida, that's pretty much it. A couple swing states like Florida, Pennsylvania, Illinois, stuff like that. If they win a couple of those, it's basically over. So someone like Trump, who might seem to be doing extremely well, that's why he would be at plus 800, while Hillary is the odds on. That means you have to bet more than you would win favorite going into the election. As remarkable and amazing as that seems, but if you truly think Trump is going to win, it's your chance to get rich. Personally, I don't really have much of an idea either way. I don't make any prediction on it. It's intriguing to watch Trump and to see how he develops and to watch his style. But again, you know, I don't watch TV, so I see very little. I just read a lot on Twitter of what people are saying and look at the memes. But I don't watch any of that Fox News or CNN or anything else. It's all ridiculous. And your mind is so much freer when you don't worry about that stuff. I purely read news articles about ISIS and Russia and other things that are interesting to me. They found a new, like, black-eyed snake down in the Andes the other day. That kind of news is interesting to me. And I like to make tweets. Okay, here's a tweet I made. If you're like me, you suppose that whales don't exit the ocean without a very good reason. A lot of my stuff has to be read in the voice of Leslie Nielsen, because that's how I kind of conceive of it. And I linked again to that video, which is reminiscent of a bygone America when men were free, when that whale landed on the beach in Oregon or California or something. They blew it up, and large chunks of its fermented, stinking blubber
crushed local cars. It was really too funny. But, you know, people are such pussies today with their need for safe spaces and not to be offended at all costs. Nothing matters more than I not ever be offended by anything. This leads to a deference to authorities. This is what the managerial state is, that Burnham, the main intellectual leading into France, Sam Francis, Canny Sammy Francis, used to talk about the technocratic state or managed therapeutic liberalism or therapeutic management state, as Jude Paul Gottfried would talk about, where everything is reduced to a question of that some professional expert, some legitimate state-employed authority can settle, and you don't need to do any thinking yourself. There's no room for a man in this system, just for consumer units. This is what we fight against, and this is why I think that people who mock freedom or mock any kind of individualism are on dangerous grounds, because although whites are most conspicuously lacking in teamsmanship, in coming together as a collective to preserve their collective interests, which they do, contrary to the conservatives, have, they are also deficient in jealously pursuing and vindicating their individual rights. We're not just whites, we're men. We're white men, 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 white men. Right? We're both. Both matter. You can't do away with one or do away with the other. Or are we going to be consumer cogs in a Jewish socialist giant machine state? You know, I watched a couple of other movies that I had not seen. Wartime movies put out by Fritz Lang. One was based on Graham Greene's novel about German invaders in Britain using a war relief as sort of a cover for spying. That was not that good. But the other was, what was the other one? I can't think of the name of it, but it was about basically Czechoslovakia. This was a picture made during the war. And it was kind of about the assassination of Heydrich and the Czechs trying to rise up against the Germans. And by God, they portrayed the Germans as just the foulest, most loathsome. This Jew, Fritz Lang, did, and this movie was made in like 43 or 44. Foulest, most loathsome. One of them is literally poking his zits in front of a mirror. The other one is kind of fey and carrying a whip around. Every possible anti-Nazi stereotype comes into play. Rotate is brutal, arrogant, physically disgusting, sexually perverted, weird. And this is what you get when you allow your racial enemy to control the airwaves. So, as I said, I did write down what that was called, but I don't have it immediately in front of me. Let me see if I got that. Fritz Lang. He's one of these Jews that came out of Germany to Hollywood when the Nazis got hot. Is it called Into the Night or something like that? Let me look that up. Hold on. Friedrich Christian Anton Fritz Lang was an Austrian-German filmmaker, speechwriter, and occasional film producer and actor. Born 1890, Vienna, so the year after Hitler he was born. Died in Beverly Hills. Now let's see. Movies that he created. Shortly afterwards, Lang left Germany. According to Lang, propaganda minister Joseph Goebbels called Lang to his offices to inform him that the Testament of Dr. Mabuse was being banned, but that he was, that's not actually probably one of his better movies, but that he was nevertheless so impressed by Lang's ability as a filmmaker, especially Metropolis, that's his most famous one. He was offering Lang as a position at the head of the German film studio UFA. I always thought Lang was a Jew, but maybe he was not. Lang had stated that, well, Think harder, Mr. Linder. If his name's Christian, he's probably not a Jew, huh?
Lang had stated... So Goebbels offered him a position as the head of the UFA, their film agency, the main one. Lang had stated it was during this meeting that he had decided to leave for Paris, but that the banks had closed by the time the meeting was over. Lang has stated that he fled that very evening. So he went to Hollywood. He signed with MGM. So basically they used this non-Jew German to make anti-German movies, promoting the American war effort and the systematic foul stereotyping of Germans and Nazis in particular. The restrained expressionism of these films he made in Hollywood is now seen as integral to the emergence and evolution of American genre cinema, film noir in black. Noir means dark or night in French, and it was, I guess, the name of a bunch of paperbacks over there that dealt with crime and that sort of thing, and it came to be a genre in Hollywood, very easily identifiable, sort of a black and white, stark style, cynical sexual themes. Thefts and prostitutes and holdups, heists, that kind of thing. But I'm trying to see a list of his films here. All right, Fritz Lang filmography. Com, where is it? Because I know when these are made, so I can identify them. Okay. Hangmen Also Die, that's what it was. That's about Heydrich, his assassination, and the Czech people. It takes place in Czechoslovakia, and they're resisting the Nazi occupation, during the Nazi occupation. Czechoslovakia during the Nazi occupation. Yes, and the other one I mentioned, the first one, was Ministry of Fear. That was in 1944. But he did a whole bunch of them, and I think he's a... The Heydrich one is probably the most famous negative depiction of Nazis by one of these German expats who, I guess, was not Jewish, which is something that surprises me. But his early one, Metropolis, that shows sort of civilization as a giant, ugly, horrible machine, is from the 20s, is pretty famous. But the only one that I've seen that was really, truly good was the one Dr. Mabuse, if that's how you pronounce it. But anyway, that's just some of some media stuff I've seen more recently. It's a little bit newer. But all right, I'll read a few of my tweets. Does Trump go too far? Hell no. He doesn't go far enough. He needs to blame Jews for letting the Muslims in. And I've really been sounding that is we have to supply the part that Trump himself does not. It's not just that the water's on. It's who turned on the tap. In all these white nations, we know that Jews took over the immigration policy, whether it was France, England, U.S., Australia, New Zealand, Canada. It was always Jews, always pursuing the same white genocidal agenda in every single one of these. That is the most important thing, because even if you stop the Muslims coming in, the same people are still in control of immigration and are eventually going to get it opened up again. You have to get rid of the people causing the problem. And to anyone, if we didn't come from a Christian culture, how could we possibly be this dumb where we just pretend that things happen for no reason? This is the most confusing thing in the world about conservatism. If it's not a religious basis, why do so many white people, other than their Christian training, believe that things happen for no reason? Who's doing all these things that nobody in the public wants? How is it in every single country that's majority white and happy to be that way, all of a sudden it does a complete 180, a complete flip of the card over to the other side of letting all these third worlders? How does that happen in the absence of some superior organized power? Well, obviously it can't happen, but it's not obvious to most people. They don't like asking why. They don't like thinking about the reasons for things. They don't like thinking. And isn't that why whites become subordinated to Jews? They just don't like thinking that much. It's difficult. They want to sit there like cows and chew their cud.
rather than think, conclude, and act. And that's where we're going to leave it today on this first edition of White Thoughts. If there's some response or if you like it, I'll probably record others as some ideas occur to me. I just want to get away from simply reading text and commenting directly on it. Talk about a few more wide-ranging things. But follow me on Twitter. I'm at, what am I at? Holy Christ, let's see. I probably got banned since I ever mentioned that. At @A_Linder_5. And then the name I have is just @A_Linder. The name in dark, bolded, is @A_Linder. But the @ is @A_Linder_5. So, yeah, follow me on there. I tweet quite a bit. I read a lot of stuff, get a lot of good ideas. I really like Twitter. It's pretty good. But anyway, we'll wrap it up there for now. And when I have some more thoughts, I'll get back to you. Thanks for listening.